Okay, brothers and sisters, let's take out our notebooks and open to the tab that says Morning Session 1 and turn to the first message. The morning session is the human spirit revealed in Ephesians. You know, the first session, the morning revival session, is a matter of enjoyment.
Amen.
Did you all enjoy this morning?
Amen.
If you didn't, we got a new morning again tomorrow.
Amen.
This session, the emphasis is on experience, like the brothers shared last night. This is a matter of experience, the experience of life. And for this, we need to have the proper understanding.
Amen.
So what I'd like you to do is read that title. This is the title for the whole training.
The revelation of the mystery.
Read it one more time.
The revelation of the mystery.
I want to show you something about this title that will help you realize how critical, important, and this word that a couple trainings ago Scott gave me, indispensable, the subject we're talking about today is. This is a title with five words, two definite articles, one preposition. They're not that important. But two words that are very important, revelation and mystery.
Amen.
When you see this title, don't answer this. What do you think of? What comes to mind? Of course, mystery, we'll talk about that more probably in the evening sessions. Mystery is a mystery. So we'll help you understand the mystery. But if I said, change this title to the knowledge of the mystery, it would have a completely different sense. I'm from Madison, Wisconsin. By the way, my name is Dave Olson. And in Madison, like many cities, we've got like a little kind of festival or something. They call it the Taste of Madison. So it's like this title, The Taste of Madison, missing one article. When I say The Taste of Madison, what do you think of? Food, right? What if I said we changed the title to The View from the Top of the Mountain? What would you think of?
Mountains.
What do you think of mountains? But actually, if you think of mountains, you miss the point of the subject.
Amen.
It's the view. What if I said, the sounds of the symphony, what would you think of? The sounds, right? So here we've got the revelation of the mystery. Now, if I talked about the taste of Madison, what sense in my body am I going to use? My seeing? My hearing? What?
Taste.
You know, it's in your mouth.
Yeah.
What if I talk about the view from the top of the mountain? What sense am I going to use?
Sight.
Sight.
Yeah.
Sounds. You're here, right?
Yeah.
If someone went to a restaurant and you asked them, was it any good? And they said, well, I went in and I looked around. The decor was beautiful. And there was some nice music playing, and it seemed like everyone was really enjoying themselves. And I looked at the menu, and I ordered a dish, and I studied it for a while, and then I left. You'd still be waiting for the answer. If you said, what was the view like from the top of the mountain? And they said, well, I drove in my car on the way up, and there were some songs on the radio that I really enjoyed, and got up there, and my cell phone works, so I sent some texts, and I got caught up in some reading, and, you know, there's some birds singing, and the air was nice and cool. What about the view? If you're talking to someone like this, I would conclude that this person is kind of not all there. He's kind of foolish, right? So when we say the revelation of the mystery, what are we talking about? The point here is revelation. The point for this meeting is the revelation a matter of our vision, physical vision? Is it a matter of our hearing? Is it a matter of knowledge? We substitute all these things, and most of the time we will substitute knowledge. Revelation is a matter of the human spirit.
Amen.
And just like it'd be foolish to say, here's a piece of pizza, tell me if it's any good, and the guy sticks it in his ear, or just looks at it, or tries to listen to it, you'd say, you've missed the point, put it in your mouth. Chew on it, tell me if it tastes good.
Amen.
So the human spirit is where we receive revelation.
Amen.
This is indispensable.
Amen.
I want to impress you. If you just get this from my speaking, then you've got it. How many of you have a human spirit?
Amen.
How many of you substitute knowledge for revelation? So that's kind of funny how our reaction is. Actually, you should say amen to that too. Like, I agree. But it wouldn't be a strong, hearty amen. It'd be kind of, instead we say, oh Lord. Actually, we say, oh Lord, that should be an enjoyment, right?
Amen.
Oh Lord!
Amen.
Exercise your spirit to say, oh Lord.
Amen.
But I think you see my point. The revelation of the mystery, we need to use the proper organ. If we don't, we won't see. Now, most of you are students, serving ones, you're serving students on campus. You encounter people who are very much in their mind. They're trained that way. We grow up that way. Use your mind. Understand, understand, understand. And they think you're foolish when you talk about God. You talk about knowing God. You talk about enjoying God. They think, oh, this guy is dumb. We don't go around flaunting our credentials. Brother Scott's going to come up after me. We've got some credentials. We're not stupid. I'm not going to tell you what our credentials are. When I get some 18 or 19-year-olds saying, oh, you guys are just foolish. You're the stupid one. You're trying to understand God, touch God, apprehend God, know God with the wrong organ. I was in Germany recently, and there's a lot of immigrants from, you know, Middle East. And they really want to know God. But they're not stupid. And we got one very thoughtful young man. And he said, prove to me that the Bible is really the words of Jesus. And I thought he wanted some kind of physical proof or, you know, historical proof. Because the translation was a little, maybe not that accurate. Actually, what he needed to know, others were answering him. And I just realized, hey man, you got to know your spirit. But he was altogether wrapped up in the understanding, the mentality. And eventually I just told him, I gave him his name. I won't say what his name was. I said, at some point, you just got to taste and see.
Hey.
You're not going to know. I can't prove to you. You always have some other argument.
Yeah.
But if you can touch your spirit, you can know God.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of how much education you have, how smart you are.
Yeah.
It's a matter of, do you know your spirit?
Amen. Amen.
So the outline, Roman numeral 1, says the human spirit was specifically formed by God and is ranked in importance with the heavens and the earth. Zechariah 12:1. Who can recite Zechariah 12:1? Oh, come on. Okay. Huh?
The burden of the word of Jehovah...
Concerning Israel. Anyway, just go ahead.
Concerning Israel. So anyway, stress forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and form the spirit of man.
So what did God do? God has a purpose. God has an economy, the way he's going to carry out his purpose. God has a goal. God has a desire. So all of creation is for God's purpose.
Amen.
So what did he do? He stretched forth the heavens.
Amen.
You know how big the heavens are? If you do, then you don't know. Because they just go on forever. I can't understand it. That's another mystery. I need a physicist to explain that to me. Then what did he do? He laid the foundations of the earth. So the earth, the heavens are for the earth. What is the earth for? Okay, some of you are saying man. Actually, it doesn't say, and he formed man. It says he formed the spirit of man.
Amen.
Within him.
Amen.
So what's the most important part of your being?
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
I don't think you really do, because I don't think I really do. Because if that's the most important part of my being, why don't I use it all the time? If this is the part that corresponds with God's purpose, we need to see, once again, this is not just critical, this is not just crucial, this is indispensable.
Amen.
It doesn't run without our human spirit. Are you getting an impression?
Amen.
Ken is, good.
Amen.
Okay. In the creation of man, Jehovah, God's breath of life, breathed into man's body, became the spirit of man, the human spirit. So in Genesis 2:7, it says, he formed man out of the dust of the ground, man's clay. He made like a statue. But this is just physical. Then he said he breathed into him. God's breath went into him, and man became a living soul. In Proverbs 20:27, it says the spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah. Now, it's like, how do those correspond? In Hebrew, in Genesis 2:7, I'm doing this all from memory. The word that is used is neshama. And that's the same word used in Proverbs 20:27 for spirit. There's another word for spirit in Hebrew, ruach. But this shows that the breath of God and the spirit of man are very closely related. One, the breath of life breathed into man's nostrils was not the eternal life of God nor the spirit of God, but something very close to God's life and God's spirit. You can read these verses in Job later. But they both use the spirit of man and the breath of God in apposition. So, you might remember in the New Testament, in John chapter 20, verse 22, the Lord Jesus came, the disciples were in the room, and it said he breathed into them. I don't know how he did it. And they received, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. In Greek, you know, the word is pneuma, and it can be translated breath, wind, spirit. But he breathed the Spirit into them.
Amen.
He breathed the Spirit of God, the life-giving Spirit, into them.
Amen.
This isn't the same. This is the breath of God to give them life. But this isn't the life of God. The reason this is important is if this we had already received the life of God through Adam, we would already have the eternal life. We'd have the divine uncreated life. We'd have the divine nature in us already. And this is not what happened. But it's something very close. We know that because who can quote 1 Corinthians 6:17? So he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We have a human spirit. God is spirit. These two spirits can mingle and join, which means that they are very close. If they're not, they can't become one. This is just... And then in Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit. So again, we've got the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, witnessing with our spirit. When we believe in the Lord, we receive the Spirit into our spirit. So these two spirits are very closely related. They're both spirit.
Amen.
So man is made in a very, very particular way. I don't want to get into this, but you know, people study evolution. They wonder, where did man come from? And if you talk to these people, again, it's like, they'll think you're foolish. I study genetics. I understand. I can tell them things they don't know. But I do know I have a spirit.
Amen.
And if we evolved, at what point did the spirit of man evolve? It just doesn't fit. So at some point, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you're a believer in God, if you're a believer in the Bible and science actually fit very well together.
Yes.
That's a whole nother topic. So don't be stumbled if someone says the Bible and the science do not fit together. But one thing evolution or science does not address is the human spirit.
Right.
And that's the most critical thing. That's the most important thing. So brothers and sisters, we have to know our spirit.
Amen.
In B, it says, in the eyes of God, we already covered this, the human spirit is ranked with the heavens and the earth, because with it man may what? Contact God.
Amen.
Do you want to contact God?
Amen.
Let's use our mind.
No.
Oh, very good response.
Amen.
You want to contact God?
Yes.
Use your spirit.
Amen.
You want to receive God?
Yes.
Use your mouth.
No.
That's kind of a trick question, right? We need to use our mouth.
Yeah.
Using our mouth is a very good way to use our spirit.
Amen.
That's in the Bible.
Yeah.
You get extra credit if you can show me where. It's very close to one of the verses I already covered. What else? Worship God. Live God according to God's purpose. Fulfill God's purpose for God and be one with God. These are all matters of the human spirit. So, the revelation of the mystery, what do you think of?
Spirit.
The revelation of the mystery, what do you think of?
Spirit.
The spirit. The human spirit. Do we need to use our spirit?
Yes.
Is it optional?
No.
Can we know God without our spirit?
No.
Can we contact God without our spirit?
No.
Can we enjoy God without our spirit?
No.
Should we study the Bible?
Yes.
Very good. Okay, Brother Scott's going to continue.
While we're transitioning, why don't we read the title of this message?
The human spirit revealed in Ephesians. Receiving revelation in our spirit.
Where?
In our spirit.
Amen. My name is Scott Young. I didn't formally introduce myself. I'm from Fort Collins, Colorado. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So good to be here. And I will continue, Brother Dave, sharing with the very same point that, just like in the title, is that revelation is only in one place. Where's that?
Our spirit.
In our spirit.
Amen.
That seems actually quite basic, but if you go around and check with the believers, I think a vast minority don't know where they can receive revelation. It is not a small thing to see this, and then our burden is that you be thoroughly impressed. And, you know, as we're considering the, you know, the title, the revelation of the mystery, the burden here for this week is that the Lord would open to us.
Amen.
He's very burdened. It's not a small thing for this many young people to be together.
Right.
And so for sure, the evening line is the major burden. And God's burden that He would give you a vision of what is in His heart.
Amen.
The revelation of the mystery. And this, it's very fitting that this is the very first message.
Yeah.
Because this kind of gives you the key.
Yeah.
How am I going to receive the revelation?
Amen.
It is being open to you in this message. And in fact, hopefully there will be some practical handles. This is something you're going to have to exercise throughout the course of this whole week. We don't want to be in a situation where, kind of like what Dave was saying, you're on the mountaintop and you're distracted by many things.
Yeah.
And you're not here matching the point that you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why you're here is you want to catch a vision.
Amen.
This is God's desire, and I believe this is our desire.
Amen.
And so we got to know the key.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the key?
Mm-hmm.
Our spirit.
Amen.
So, you know, the next point, Roman numeral 2, let's read that together.
God has given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Our regenerated human spirit indwelt by the Spirit of God, so that we may see a vision of Christ and the church.
What precious utterance. God has given us a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
And that utterance comes from Paul's prayer. You know, in Ephesians, there are two great prayers. This is probably going to come up a lot this week.
Right.
And that first prayer in chapter 1 is Paul's prayer for the believers to have revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And as we'll see later in Ephesians chapter 3, we have Paul's prayer for experience of the believers. And these are some great prayers. And the way he begins, and how about those who have been exercising to memorize the Word? How about Ephesians 1:17? Let's declare that together, right? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him. So his prayer is that he would give the believers, give to us, a spirit of wisdom and revelation. This is what we need in order for our eyes to see, is that we all need a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And as is brought out in the outline point, is that spirit is a reference to our regenerated spirit,
mm-hmm.
indwelt by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, when we all believed in the Lord Jesus, and opened to Him and received Him as our Savior, the Spirit of God came into our human spirit.
Amen.
And made it alive.
Amen.
Regenerated it.
Amen.
And we received the life of God. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit continued to stay there.
Amen.
And now indwells, and as our brother brought out, is mingled with our spirit.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for now our mingled spirit.
Amen.
Where we are one with the Lord.
Amen.
Well, it's quite something. I don't know if you ever considered this. Why did Paul pray? He's praying for the believers.
Mm-hmm.
But why, if it's this spirit is our mingled spirit,
yeah.
why did he pray to give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation?
Wow.
Don't we already have it?
Wow.
And so I was helped much in considering this and reading some ministry on this, is that, yes, you know, we all have a spirit,
yeah.
but have we all received revelation?
Wow.
And so it's quite possible that our spirit might be a little dull, not so exercised, not so strong, not so clear. And so we need God to come in to anoint our mingled spirit,
Amen.
To strengthen our spirit so that it would be full of wisdom
Amen.
And full of revelation. And so that's why he prayed. In fact, this is something we should pray through the course of this week. Father, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
Right before every message, we should freshly pray, Father, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
How about we declare that together?
Father, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Well, these two things, wisdom and revelation, are very helpful. How about we look at the outline points? It kind of opens up a little bit. I'll just read it to you. We need both wisdom and revelation in order to perceive the spiritual things. Wisdom, the ability to understand spiritual things, is in our spirit. So wisdom here, which is only in one place, that is in our spirit, is the ability, the capacity to understand spiritual things. When you look at a scenery, you know, in the reading, it gives a little example of an engineer who, probably a mechanical engineer who studied machinery. And then the person brought that engineer to a factory, opened the doors, and there's a whole room of these machines. And so that was an unveiling. I'll get to that. But if he didn't have the understanding of what he's looking at, it would be like for many of us, it would be like a bunch of clumps of metal. It would not mean anything, right? So when we're looking at something, you got to have the capacity to understand what you're seeing.
Amen.
That capacity is in our spirit.
Amen.
And as Dave brought out, it's not in our mind. So the subpoints here are very good.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot know the spiritual things with our mind.
Mm-hmm.
We can only know them with the proper organ, our spirit.
Amen.
Cleverness is in the mind, but wisdom is in our spirit.
Amen.
And I think this is very helpful because we're, you know, talking to college students who are quite trained to use our mind to learn new things, right? That's what we do in school. And it's totally okay because you're dealing with earthly things, human things.
Yeah.
We have to exercise our mind, our smart mind. We have to use cleverness in order to grasp things. You got to use logic and reasoning. This is all very good. But when you come to the spiritual things,
yeah,
it's no good.
Right. Right.
In fact, you got to use a different organ. And so, you know, I was thinking about this, and there's a little illustration. Any of you are familiar with Magic Eye? You know what that is? Okay, what it is, I got here a little example. This is a picture. Believe it or not, this is a 3D picture of a shark. Do you believe me?
I believe you.
You believe me. All right, thank you, Dave. Well, I worked at it, and I proved it personally. I experienced it. It is a 3D vision of a shark. So Magic Eye is a random pattern of colors. In which is supposed to, if you use your eye right, you have to, it's a certain technique in which you can look at this in a certain way, and suddenly a 3D image will come forth.
Yeah.
And what is here is actually a 3D image of a shark. It's really there. It's really there. Well, this is kind of, I was thinking about this illustration. You know, this is what the Bible looks like to the natural mind.
Yeah.
All right? If you're going to try to deal with the Bible like you do with a textbook, it's going to look like this. There's going to be random facts and patterns. You might be smart and maybe put some kind of logic things together, but you're going to come up with is doctrine that will only veil you. I'll talk about that a little more later. But it will be utter confusion. It won't make any sense. So you got to do is use your eye in a different way.
Yeah.
We got to use a different organ.
Wow.
If you exercise your spirit, then suddenly when you touch the Word of God,
amen,
what comes forth is revelation.
Yeah. Amen.
What comes forth is Christ.
Amen.
The church, God's economy, it becomes very clear.
Yeah.
Right? Well, praise the Lord. Okay. So, you know, the next point is very good. It says, revelation, the opening of the veil, is through God's Spirit in our spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
And on this point, I just wanted, actually, Dave, can I use your jacket? I wanted to coordinate this earlier, but, and then I'll probably just do the Ray, because I know Ray pretty well. Ray, you need to come up here.
Can I sit down?
Yeah, you can sit down, Dave. Yeah, amen. I won't do it to you, Dave, but to Ray I will. So I'm going to... Okay, what is this? It's a veil. So this is our condition. So that's why when we look at the Word of God, there is a veil.
Yeah.
Even in, you know, 2 Corinthians 3, it talks about a veil lying on our heart. And so the Spirit has a particular function, and that is it declares to us the things of the Father and of the Son.
Mm.
It speaks to us.
Amen.
And so the Spirit wants to do an unveiling.
Amen.
Well, that's what the Spirit does. But where does it do it?
Wow.
Where does this unveiling take place?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to say it's in our spirit.
Yeah.
It's not in our mind. It's not in any part of our being. So I'm going to help Ray. So the revelation, that's what the word means. Revelation is this. Voila! Revealed, right?
Amen.
The unveiling. Okay, thank you, Ray. You did a really good job.
Amen.
I might use this jacket again.
Okay, I'll keep it handy.
Okay. So that... unveiling is in our spirit.
Amen.
That's the function of the Spirit. The Spirit does a work of unveiling to us God's economy, unveiling to us this mystery.
Yes.
And so it's very helpful. So first, we must have a spiritual understanding, the wisdom in our spirit. So that's the capacity to understand what we're seeing. And then the Spirit of God can reveal the spiritual things to our spirit, to give us revelation.
Amen.
So this point, let's read this one together. We need to exercise spirit to pray read the Word in order to receive wisdom and revelation from the Spirit. Amen. So this little phrase, we need to exercise our spirit. You know, when we really begin to appreciate this, if we appreciate our regenerated spirit, our handling of the Word of God will profoundly change. Like I said, we're very accustomed to reading and to understanding and using our mind to obtain knowledge. And I think it's very easy when we touch the Word of God, we read the Bible, we want to do the same thing. That's what we're used to. And that gets into a lot of trouble, right? As I think many of us have can experience. So when we realize that the only place of revelation is in our spirit, when we come to the Word, our attitude changes, our exercise is totally different.
Amen.
And so, you know, that verse in Ephesians 6:17 and 18 is a very good verse where it talks about receiving the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God,
yeah,
by means of all prayer. And praying is the excellent way of exercising our spirit.
Amen.
And so this matter we use a lot, this term matter of prayer reading, is exceedingly precious. It's a wonderful recovery among us in which we can pray over the Word of God. It's a very simple notion, but a lot of Christians don't even think about it, but we're being helped with it, is that when we exercise our spirit through prayer, we can tap into the spirit that's contained in the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, there's a verse, 2 Timothy 3:16, the first part says, all Scripture is God-breathed. And so rich, that footnote is exceedingly rich, Recovery Version, it brings out, it says that, you know, in the Scriptures is embodied the Spirit of God. The Lord says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. So embodied in the Scriptures is spirit and life.
Amen.
And so when we exercise our spirit to strike our spirit with the spirit that's in the Word, it says we catch the divine fire.
Amen.
It's like a match. You strike it. I like that word strike because that's kind of the way of exercise. When we take the Word and pray over it, you got to strike it.
Amen.
Declare it.
Amen.
Pray it.
Amen.
When you do that, you touch something.
Amen.
Of reality.
Amen.
And I think, I know I can testify many times, praying over the Word, all of a sudden, it's like light bulbs go off.
Amen.
Have you had that experience?
Yes.
One brother testified, it's kind of like fireworks. You start beginning to pray, you know, like that verse that when it says, oh, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God.
Amen.
And it's like, poof, poof. Fireworks. Suddenly, God becomes very impressive.
Yeah.
The Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
very the Father of glory.
Amen.
Oh, He's the Father of glory.
Glory.
And so you strike your spirit over the Word, it just comes alive. That's how we can receive the revelation that's in the Word. You know, it's so good. And so I hope through the course of this week, you know, we're exercising the memorize,
amen,
but pray read that Word.
Yes.
Chew on it.
Amen.
Exercise your spirit over it.
Amen.
Then you'll find your eyes will begin to be open. You'll begin to see what is in God's heart. What is God conveying in those,
amen,
words?
Amen.
And that's why before all our meetings, we want to sing and exercise our spirit.
Amen.
We got to pray ourselves into the Spirit.
Amen.
I can testify many times in the conferences, when I get myself in the Spirit, together with the saints, listen to the brother speak.
Amen.
Whew, I see it.
Amen.
Right? But if I'm in my mind, I'm thinking about other things, I'm there listening to, I'm falling asleep, I'm not getting it, right? It's confusion. But when I'm in my spirit, I can see it.
Amen.
Right? So, dear saints, through the course of this week, let's get into our spirit.
Amen.
Right? We can see the vision.
Amen.
Okay. Now, on point two, not point two.
Yeah.
Sorry, my mind's point two, but point B.
Yeah.
How about we read this together real quick, okay? Vision
results when we have revelation, the opening of the veil, sight, light, and the right position with the right angle.
Amen. So eventually the revelation needs to become a governing vision. And vision is like it was mentioned last night, will control our Christian life.
Right.
It motivates us. Eventually it needs, this is what we all need. We need to be people of vision.
Right.
Because that vision will keep you. It will impel you. It will shape your living, your service. Everything has to be according to vision. And so a vision is a scene, a sight. And so now we're going to, okay, Brother Dave,
yes,
And Ray. Sorry, Ray. I'll get at him, but he walked away. Okay, so this is our situation again, right?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. Okay, now this time we want not just a revelation of Ray, but we want a vision of Ray, okay? So there are a number of things that we need in order for that to happen. Number one is, of course, you all need understanding. So I think you have that. You know what a human being is. So if I show you Ray, you're going to be able to understand who he is, what he is. We also need, as we learned, we need an unveiling. And that unveiling, stay here, okay, is in our spirit.
Yeah.
Right? So you got a revelation. Well, now, in order for Ray to become a vision, you need some more things. And that is, number one, is you need your eyes opened. Imagine, close all your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see Ray, right?
No Ray.
Even though you got the revelation in your spirit, no Ray. Now, imagine if we just turn off all the lights. So you got your eyes open, but there's no light. You still can't see Ray. So we need light. Now, imagine if you were not in this room. And lights are on, eyes are open, but you're not in the room. You're on the right position. You can't see Ray.
Right.
Now imagine if you had all those, but you're all turned the other way. Right?
Yeah.
Wrong angle.
Right.
It's no vision.
Yeah.
So the point, Roman point B, and all the subpoints is to show us we need all these different aspects in order to catch the vision.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, thank you, Ray. And so my point is, I like to go through this, is that there we have to take care of the parts of our inward being in order for the revelation to become a vision to us. And so, you know, point A, point one, let's read that one together, B1.
In order to see a vision, our heart must be turned to the Lord, so that the veil may be taken away.
Oh, praise the Lord, saints. We need to turn our heart.
Amen.
The 2 Corinthians 3:16. Whoever knows that, how about we say that together? How's it start? That whenever the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So when we turn, what a wonderful promise. When we turn our heart to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And that veil, as I mentioned earlier, can be teachings, knowledge, doctrine. Even it can just be simply an unturned heart. It becomes a veil that keeps us from seeing the Lord. And so point two kind of flows into it. I'm really has some feeling here a little bit. How about we read that? In order
for the eyes of our hearts to be able to see, we need to have a pure heart.
So in that prayer, right, as we prayed for, Paul prays for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him, that the eyes of their heart having been enlightened. And so our heart has eyes. Our spiritual eyes are in our heart. And so, as I mentioned, since our eyes have to be opened, our seeing ability depends on the condition of our heart. And so there it says, like in that verse, it's a wonderful verse, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So there is a seeing capacity when our heart is pure. And to have a pure heart is a heart that is single, that with just one goal and one purpose, and that is God's will and God's glory. And so, you know, just to mention, so we need, as through the course of this week, as we're seeking the Lord to reveal to us God's economy, we too also need to take care of our heart.
Amen.
And you know, the parts of our heart, our conscience, our mind, emotion, and will.
Right.
And there's a lot. So to deal with our heart, we've got to take care of all the parts of our heart. And so I had a little feeling, just, you know, we have to take care of our conscience. If there is a burden of sin, defilement in our conscience, a bothering in our conscience, it's going to affect our ability to see.
Right.
You know, you might be able to call on the Lord in the meetings, in your exercise, in your spirit, but you know, our conscience is kind of like the window into our whole being.
Amen.
And so when there's dirt of sin on our conscience, it's kind of like that window getting blocked. You can't see through. And so no matter how exercised you are, if there is something, the Lord's bothering you. He may be. I think it's very good in the beginning of this training that you get some time. There might be some things that things you said, things that you've done, that you saw, that it's just weighing on you. You just know. There's light already there. The Lord's touching it already. You got to go to the Lord and confess it to the Lord. Right? All the wrongdoings, all the mistakes. You confess it, and then the blood of Christ can purify our conscience.
Amen.
Right? Experience the cleansing of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
This is very important. I hope you can be, sometime today, just spend a little time opening to the Lord. I was touched as I was considering this. Nothing between.
Amen.
Lord, nothing between.
Amen.
I'm here. I paid a price, Lord, to be here. I want to see the revelation. So, Lord, nothing between.
Amen.
Lord, if there's anything between me and you, remove it. Right? It just takes a little leaf to block that star.
Right.
It doesn't take much, dear saints. So how about we have that kind of exercise?
Yep.
Or our conscience.
Amen.
Cleanse our conscience with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I think time-wise, I'll be short on the others. You know, of course, our mind has to be focused.
Right.
Has to be open. I can ask you, where's your mind right now? Right? If your mind is somewhere else, you're not going to be able to see. Our emotion, I think our brother did a very good job. We have to love the Lord.
Amen.
Our emotion has to be hot.
Amen.
Burning.
Amen.
Loving Jesus.
Amen.
For sure, He wants to manifest Himself to those who love Him. And our will needs to be submissive.
Amen.
Obedient. Willing. Even resolved to do His will.
Amen.
Okay, all these points. We've got to allow the Lord deal with our heart.
Amen.
Okay, I think let's go ahead and finish through the outline. So, point three, to see a vision, we need to be open and consecrated. Only those who are open and consecrated or single can receive light when they read the Bible. This is really, there's a lot of riches here, but just say this. How open we are to the Lord depends on how much consecrated we are to the Lord. And if there is any reservation in our consecration, that means there's a part of you being closed to Him.
Yeah. Amen.
And the Lord cannot get in. And if we're closed, that brings in darkness.
Yeah.
So it's really something. We should be before the Lord. If there's some reservations in our consecration, and when our handing ourselves over to the Lord regarding our future, regarding relationships, the Lord, He may want to shine, but we're not willing to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And so may we be open by freshly consecrating ourselves,
amen,
our whole being to the Lord, okay?
Amen.
In order to see a vision, we need to be in spirit and turn to see.
Amen.
As long as we are in spirit, when we turn, we will see.
Amen.
And finally, seeing a vision of Christ in the church may be likened to capturing a scene with a camera. The lens cap must be removed. The film must be proper. Light must enter. And the camera must be in the right position with the right angle.
Amen.
Isn't that good? Dear saint, what an illustration. We are all cameras.
Amen.
In order to take a good picture, we got to take care of the camera.
Yeah. Right.
Get that lens cap off.
Right.
Remove the veils. Our mind has to be open. The film, our heart, has to be properly adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
We need God as light to shine. We have to be in the right position, the right angle. Amen. So we can take a good picture of Jesus.
Amen.
And get Jesus into our being.
Amen.